And Jesus was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice in this octave day of the Feast of the Ascension, and we remember the historical event of the Lord's ascension into glory as recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke in the 24th chapter at the 49th verse. When Jesus said to the apostles, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. This biblical testimony is a record of Jesus' complete victory when he ascended up on high and entered into that temple not made with hands and was accepted of the Father. So we rejoice today in the historical event of the victory of Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven. This festival day is recognized by the church 40 days after Easter, because Jesus was with the disciples, showing them by many infallible proofs that he was indeed risen from the dead in a glorified state. And then after 40 days, he then ascended up into heaven. So on our church calendar, we have an Eastertide that is 40 days, and then we have Ascension Day, which always falls on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter. And then there's a period of time until the coming of the Holy Spirit. 10 days later came the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So we'll celebrate the Feast of Pentecost next Sunday. So in this Ascension Tide, we remember what Jesus has done for us, his complete victory in his ascension. And it's important that we hear the biblical witness of the ascension, and that we think of these things in the way that is according to Scripture. I remember years ago, for a Sunday school class, I went out I went with a Sunday school class with some helium balloons on Ascension Day, and we released them into the air to watch them ascend up and then finally, you know, disappear from sight. Now, some of you may have an issue with releasing helium balloons. I'll have to remind you, there must be a statute of limitations on this. If it was 30 years ago. But anyway, I would say now that that's not a very good illustration. Because when you release a balloon, it goes up and up and up, it gets smaller and smaller. Finally, it drifts out until it drifts out of sight, till you can see it no more. But that's not the biblical witness of the ascension of Christ. They didn't see Jesus ascend on a clear blue Arizona type day and then disappear in, you know, after a little pinprick. No, he ascended up and a cloud received him from their sight. And so this is important to us because it isn't like locomotion where the Lord Jesus is going to ascend from one place to another in the manner of, say, space flight, where he'll leave the stratosphere and they go out through our solar system past Pluto, if they still call it a planet, and then, you know, even further out until he pierces beyond in heaven. No, this one is probably a better way to describe it would be a parting of the veil, where he goes up in the cloud, receives him, and he passes through the veil into the heavenly place. That's probably a more accurate way to think about it. Certainly, if you look at paintings of the ascension of Christ, they'll show him ascending up into the clouds, and he will in like manner descend from heaven at the end of time. He will come in the clouds with great power and in glory. So this is a way to think about it, not necessarily that, probably this way, not necessarily like the balloons going up and disappearing, but instead Jesus going up into the glory of God whose power is in the clouds. And God, who went before Israel in a pillar of cloud by day, into the cloud, through the veil, into the heavenly place. And how close is Jesus to us now? Maybe a lot closer than we think. It's not like Jesus went so far away he can't be, you know, approached or, you know, heard from anymore. No, he is closer than maybe we are to ourselves, the Lord Jesus. Another way to consider the ascension is that this is the glorification of Christ. The Son of God came down from the heavenly glory in humility to rescue our human race, to deliver us from sin, Satan, and death. And he is victorious in his mission. He has done all things well. He has destroyed the kingdom and the empire of the enemy, and he is risen from the dead with his indestructible life. Now risen, he then ascends, and he is exalted now, the one who humbled himself and became like us and humbled himself to the death, even the death of the cross. God now exalts, lifts up, and we see the exaltation of Christ, where he now is in glory at the right hand of the Father. This is important to us because we will follow him now in our own time, in embracing our cross, following him in his footsteps. We too will be humbled in this life. We too will suffer. But as we suffer for Christ in this life, that humiliation, that humbling, will be but for a season. And then will come our resurrection and our glorification. We too shall be exalted and lifted up into the divine life of the Holy Trinity and reign with him in glory forever. And so Jesus shows us the pattern that we too will follow. And so we rejoice today because Jesus shows us our destiny. In him, this is our future. Now we see also that Jesus, as he ascends up into heaven, we see three important things to hold on to today. In the first place, he enters through the veil and is accepted into heaven, which means he has broken down the middle wall of partition that separated us from God. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, as he was dying upon the cross, he shouted out, "It is finished." And in a miraculous way, the veil in the temple was rent in twain, in two, from the top to the bottom. And that veil in the temple separated the temple from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And it symbolized in the first temple, and it symbolized the presence of God. The presence of God was there. And only one person could go through only one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement. The high priest would go through into the Holy of Holies. But otherwise, mankind, the Jewish people and mankind, were separated from the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom where somebody might have cut it or unraveled it. No, from the top to the bottom, it was broken apart. And it wasn't just any kind of, thin veil. No, this was a curtain that was 30 feet tall by 60 feet wide, 1,800 square feet of material, woven as thick as a man's hand. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom. It symbolized that now the wall of separation was broken. Christ was now reconciling us to the Father. We now could receive the Father's blessings. That is given to us by, and we rejoice today because we remember that in the ascension. One of us has entered into heaven and is there now. One of our human race has ascended. For Jesus Christ came down from heaven, the Son of God. He ascends into heaven, the Son of God and the Son of Man. He is one divine person in two natures, and he enters back into heaven with his human nature, body, soul, and spirit. The scandal of the ascension, a body of clay, reigns in glory at the right hand of the Father. And so one of us has made it there. Christ has broken the barrier, and now we have the blessings of the Father. We also see in the ascension that our great high priest is now at the right hand of the Father, where he ever makes intercession for us. And he is a priest that is human, that knows what it's like to be human, who has lived a life in this fallen world and knows what it's like. And so we have a great high priest that we can approach who knows our sufferings because he has also suffered as we suffer. So a person that may be suffering hunger, Christ knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty, to go without. He knows what it's like to be in poverty. He has suffered these things in the physical frame. He knows bodily suffering. In his own soul, he knows what it's like to lose somebody dear. He knows grief. He's a man of sorrows. He knows what it's like to be exposed to danger by people who are supposed to protect you, by your own brothers. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood by family. Remember when they said, oh, he's beside himself. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by a close friend, to be handed in the hands of sinful men who abuse you. He knows what it's like to be unjustly accused. If you've ever suffered in these ways, Christ is your companion. He is your intercessor, one who knows what it's like, who understands what you're going through. This is the gift of the ascension for us. Christ, who is ascended up on high, now intercedes for us, the great high priest, and who has been touched by our infirmity. The Lord Jesus also ascended up into glory as our great high priest, is now in exaltation, and in that place of glory will come again. And so he has gone before us and will come again to bring us with him. So on Ascension Day, we never forget the words of Christ that he spoke to the disciples at the Last Supper when he said to them, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we are comforted, strengthened by the promise of Christ that he has gone before us into heaven to prepare a place for us. In the redemption, Christ is bringing each one of us into a glorious future, into the heavenly places, into the new heavens, the new earth. He is preparing that for us. And so we can think beyond our own death, which we will survive by the power of Christ. Christ has made it now that we'll survive our own death, right? In him we are eternal. We're called sempiternal. We have a beginning but no end in Christ. So we'll survive our own death, and Christ at the end of time will raise us up, and we too will be lifted up in an exalted way and brought to that place that Christ is preparing, that we may dwell with him there in the eternal bliss of heaven. And so let us rejoice today on this Ascension Day. Let us give humble thanks to Christ for his complete victory. Appeal to him with boldness, the one who is our intercessor before the throne of God. And let us await with expectation and with faith in the sure promises of God that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ of our hope of heaven, our sure hope of the resurrected life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.